Praise God. Wow, 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 wow. God, you're so good. You're so good. Father, we agree. In the name of Jesus, you're a good daddy. You're an awesome daddy. You love us with a love that is way beyond what we can comprehend in the natural realm. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for putting the love of Jesus Christ in our heart, all over our heart, soaking our heart in the love of Jesus. We bless you for that. Thank you again for opening up our eyes, causing us to see, enlightening our heart, and moving us into the beautiful, beautiful life that you've prepared for us. I want out of the way, Lord. Just want you to be seen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen! Hallelujah! Hey, hi there. Do you have a voice? Yay! We are getting together tomorrow night. How long's it been? A while. Long time. In the light of eternity? A couple hours ago. Praise God. Praise God. All right. I want to. Lord, what does the Lord want? What do you want, Holy Spirit? You know, that's exciting about the Spirit walk, walking in the Holy Spirit, is you don't have to know. He's a spontaneous God. And he acts spontaneously. He speaks spontaneously. He's like the wind. Can you go out of here and tell me which way the wind's going to come from? But it comes, right? He's just like the wind. And we're to be just like the wind. Carried here, there, and everywhere, and just letting him release the life of Jesus. Woo-wee. Wow. Wow. All right. I have to figure out where to start. Thank you. Thank you. I know. Him. I don't know too much else. I don't need to know too much else. If we know him, we know enough, right? If we're in a relationship with him, we're in relationship enough, right? If we have his presence, we have enough presence. If we have his power, we have enough power. If we have his glory, we have enough glory. If we have his plan, we got the plan. You know, remember that little guy? Deep plane. We got deep plan. Deep plan. I got deep plan. I got deep plan. Whew, wow. Okay, I just need to know. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We were the elders meet Tuesday night. We meet to encourage each other and pray. And we were just discussing a little bit before we prayed about this amazing paradox, this amazing mystery of Christ in us. It's a paradox. And, you know, the gospel really is simple. The gospel of Jesus Christ is really simple. And I kind of say the same thing again and again. And people will say, you know, why do you feel like you have to keep saying the same thing again and again? Because there's something that I've learned is that we don't get it by just hearing it. We get it by revelation of the Holy Spirit. And in this place today, every one of you can receive the revelation of the Holy Spirit. You just, he releases it in you, and you know. We go from knowing about something to knowing something is true. To knowing it's true for me, that this is reality. And that's the work of the Spirit of God. And look back to when I started, Holy Spirit started redirecting me out of the legalistic mode, out of the law mode, out of the mode of me trying to do things, into the mode of grace, where he has done it all and will do it all through us. And we're fully trusting in him and no longer in myself. As he was taking me through that move, it didn't come instantly. There was a lot of, the same scriptures again and again. All of a sudden, it's like, whoa, are you kidding me? This is amazing. See, when revelation comes from the Spirit of God, it's, this is amazing. It's not trying to do it anymore. It's not trying to figure it out. It's now, I got it. This is who I am. I got it. This is who he is in me. This is it. This is it. So there. Amen. If I'm up here and I'm speaking in the Holy Ghost, and I'm trusting in him, I'm not trusting in my own understanding, I'm not trusting in all that I've learned, but I'm trusting in him to release and speak what he wants. And if I'm doing that, then my words become spirit and life. And from the time they come out of my mouth, it works the same with you. Whether you've got somebody in front of you in a grocery store, it doesn't make any difference. But if that's the case, when the words come out, they go and they come to your ears. The Holy Spirit wraps himself around the words that he's speaking through someone who's yielded to him. And those he's delivering those words, and they come. And now it's not going to be like hearing somebody talk, because it goes right into your spirit. And it becomes a knowing instead of just a hearing. You now know something. Whoa. For a long time, I went through the whole New Testament and I picked out all the scriptures that talked about the change that's happened to us in Christ and who we are in Christ. And I put together a booklet. Y'all know about that. It's on the website free. I'm in the process of revising it right now. It's being written in Swahili now, because there's Swahili areas that have asked for that. Please, can you put it in our language? It's being done right now. As I'm going through those scriptures, it was, one time, two times, 10 times, all of a sudden it's like, it becomes life. It becomes truth and life. And all of a sudden it's not something I know about, it's something I know to be true. I think it works the same way for all of us. I don't think God's doing something special with me. It's for all of us. If our heart is to know him, if our heart is to walk with the Spirit, he's going to reveal himself. He's going to release it to us. Here's the scripture that you hear me talk about, this quote, this scripture all the time. Put it up in the King James, Harvey. Galatians 2:20. Okay. I'm going to challenge you. You sit and you meditate on that. You sit and you talk to the Holy Spirit about that. What is he saying? What is he saying? I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. Huh? This is not theology. This is not a doctrine. This is truth. This is actual fact in the spirit. It's not something that's going to be happen. It's not something that is going to happen. It's something that has already happened when you believed in Jesus Christ. I have been crucified with Christ. Who's been crucified? It is no longer I who live. Okay, you've been crucified and you don't live any longer. Then who's living? Paul wrote to the Philippians, he said, for me to live is Christ. Who's living? See, the number one temptation and the number one tactic that the enemy has against us is to get us out of confidence and faith in the fact that it's no longer me, that it's now him. It's his life. Our spirits have become one, and now he's living through me. To get us out of that truth and into the lie that we're still that crucified person having all kinds of issues like we did in the flesh. Still get upset, still get bent, still get worried, still get anxious, still get stressed, still get have all these issues that we're still that person and we still have that struggle. And it's a number one deception that comes from the enemy to cause us to not see what's already been done for us, that now it's no longer me, but it's Christ living through me. Is there anything that could ever come into your life if it's Christ living through you that he can't take care of? That he can't handle? Can you picture Christ going, I don't know about this. This could be a tough one. Could you picture Christ doing that? Okay, but what happens? The deception comes. The devil tries to make us think that's not the truth for us. That we're still that old person. We're still struggling with the old person. We're still hanging out there with all those anxieties and worries and problems. And we have to deal with those things. And you see Christian after Christian dealing with the same kind of fleshly stuff again and again and again. Why? Because we bought a lie. The gospel is so blasted simple. For me to live is Christ. I no longer live. Oh, if you believe you do, yeah, well then you're going to experience a lie. You're going to experience all the stuff that you don't like. This is, I'm going to keep going on this. I'm going to keep expanding on this, okay? Because at some point it's going to be, yes! I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. What does that mean? It means now he's living in you, if you believe. If you believe, now he's living in you and through you, if you believe. Everything's contingent upon faith. It's by his grace he does it all. But do we believe? What do we believe? Okay, so you start to feel stressed and nervous and anxious about something. Is that the truth? That guy who used to operate in that has been crucified. Just believe. Oh, that's too simple. Hello. This is why we keep going over this again and again and again, because it is simple, but it requires revelation being released by the Holy Spirit. And until that revelation hits me, I'm not changed. I'm still like, I don't get it. I don't get it. We're going to get it. We're going to get it. Every one of us in this place and in this assembly and everywhere we go in the world, they're going to get it. Because we're going to keep it simple. We're going to keep hammering the same thing. We're not going to focus on anything. We'll talk about some other stuff. We're not focusing on other stuff. We're focusing on the truth. That now it's not me living. It's him living. Oh, no. You try to wrap your head around that, you're not going to be able to. You cannot. It's got to be discerned by the Holy Spirit. It's a paradox. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. So who lives this life that I now live? Christ or myself? Who lives this life now? Is it you or is it Christ? Who lives it? Yes. What do you think our life will really look like when we fully release faith in him living instead of us? What do you think it'll begin to look like? I love hearing people say to me, man, I'm being changed. Man, I'm being transformed. man, I used to get all bent about this stuff. It doesn't even bother me anymore. I just know he's handled it. I feel his peace. His peace just fills me. Oh, and I actually get excited, full of joy when the trials and tribulations. You know, that's the same word. It's the same word in the Greek, trial and tribulations and temptation. It's all, temptation, temptations, trials, tribulations. It's all the same word in the Greek. And James says, consider all that stuff pure joy. How the heck do you do that? You'll never wrap your head around that. You can do that by knowing it's going to be him responding, not you responding. How do we know when we respond? We're responding out of a lie. We're believing that we're still alive, that old guy's still alive, that old nature is still there. It's not. And it's according to our faith. It's going to be done to us according to our faith. Now, I know I'm not the only one that's had wrong faith, misplaced faith, confidence in the wrong place. I'm not the only one. But, you know, it's not like God all at once removes everything wrong out and puts everything right in. He puts everything right in, but all the wrong gets moved out as we believe. So let's just look a little bit about Jesus to understand this paradox, this mystery, a little bit more. Because did he not live in a human body to demonstrate for us what someone without sin, their life can be like? Did he not? With confidence in God, he is our example. In the Gospels, he is our only example. Jesus, the very life of Jesus Christ in the Gospels, he is our example. The way he lived is the way we are to live. And we can live. If you try to live my life, you're not going to do so good. If I try to live your life, I'm not going to do so good. Right? You're going to struggle and you're going to strive and you're going to get, this is crazy. I can't do this. If you tried to live like a monkey, you might be able to act. You might be able to act a little bit like a monkey, but you can never have the monkey nature. I guess you don't know. Maybe there's not. I don't John chapter 14. John 14. Verse, Jesus speaking to Philip. He's saying, asking Jesus, show us the Father, Jesus. John 14, verse 9 and 10 says, Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. Understand, the way it works for us is now it's Christ in us by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Father was in Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Now it's Christ in us by the same Holy Spirit. And he's saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We should be able to say, if you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. You know how it's going to happen? Only believe. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Do you not believe that Jesus is in you and you are in Jesus? Do you not believe? What if we really believed? What would your life be like? Oh! The works that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Hello. The works that we do not do on our own authority, our own ability, but it's the Spirit of Jesus Christ in us that does the works. See, Jesus said, as the Father sent me, I sent you. The same way he's modeling for us what our life is to look like in union, in oneness with the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He's modeling it for us. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. We ought to have works that make people wonder, the heck is this? Who the heck is this? My God, you look just like Jesus. How did you do that? Was it you or was it Jesus? I tell you, it was both. You're alive, right? It's him living through you, but you're alive, right? So who's doing it? Both of you. Who's the one that has the power? He does. Where's the anointing come from? Him. Where's the wisdom come from? Him. Where's the strength come from? Him. Where's the joy and peace come from? Him. Everything comes from him. It's both of you. But understand, he's the source. I'm going to keep going on this. Is that okay? John chapter 20, verse 21. John 20, 21. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. The same way the Father sent him, the same way Jesus sends us. It's Jesus Christ living his life. Let me put it this way. It's Jesus living as Tony. It's Jesus living as Carolyn. It's Jesus living as Dave. It's Jesus living as Melody. I'm telling you this mystery. I'm telling you this paradox. That when we grab hold of this, everything changes. And it changes rather quickly. John chapter 10, verse 30. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Jesus never said, I am the Father. We don't say, I am Christ. For me to live is Christ. But I don't tell people, I'm Jesus Christ. That Jesus never told people he was the Father. He said, we're one. We're totally united. The works that you see me do are coming from him, and they're flowing through me. We don't say that we are Jesus, but we are so one with him, so united with him, that the works flow from him through us. It's us. Let me say this right, Holy Spirit. Ooh, look at 5. John 5:19. Remember, he's our example. 5:19. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, whatever the Father does, the Son also does in like manner. We can do nothing of ourselves. Whatever we see, whatever we hear, whatever he shows us, he's doing. And that should more and more become a spontaneous thing to where we're not thinking about, oh, show me what you want me to do. We're not thinking about, I don't know what to do here. We're not thinking about that. We just automatically know and do it because we're so one. That's where he wants to take us. Not the questioning all the time. I want to know your will. I want to know what you're doing. I want to know how to do this. I want to know how to get there. I want to know what's your plan. You just know it. Because he's in you for that purpose. Is this making any sense? I mean, I got that deer in the headlight look. Yeah. We don't do anything out of ourselves. We do everything out of him. It's a matter of believing. That's the way it is. It's the way he wants it. That's the way he set it up. And that's what's going to happen. It's not striving or trying anymore. It's not manipulating, trying to get your way. It's not getting bent and all upset. It's just resting. It's the most beautiful life. I've been watching the transition in my own life. I've been watching it happen. Were, you know, the old Italian would get pretty bent a lot of times. You know, anybody know what I'm talking about? Where, you know, we used to, when I was a kid, we had these big bottles of Brioski. You know what Brioski is? It's like Alka-Seltzer in intense form. And it would just, because everybody's always a wreck. Everybody's always upset about everything. Like that's normal. It's not normal for a born-again person. It is not normal for a born-again person. It's not normal for someone who has Jesus Christ living in you and you've become united with him and one with him. That's not normal anymore. Eh? John 5:30, just look over one page. Maybe it's on the same page in your Bible. I don't know. Jesus said, I can, John 5:30, I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. You want to seek your own will? Jesus said he didn't seek his own will, but the will of the Father. And for us now, it's not what I want. It's what does he want? Because he's got a blasted perfect plan for us. I don't want my will. I want his will to be done. I want his will to flow out of me. I want it to saturate and soak my mind. The spirit of my mind just becomes completely changed. Thinking the Jesus thoughts. Thinking the way Jesus thinks. If I'm getting too deep, and you need me to explain more, say something, okay? I'm trying to keep it simple. So tell me, who was living Jesus' life? Was it him or his father? Both. Very good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Yeah. Woo. Look at this. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians. Go to the Philippines and meet the Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Good man. You're on it. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Now watch this. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What's that sound like? Sounds like you're doing it, right? Okay, look at verse 13. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So which is it? The Apostle Paul is trying to get this paradox across to us here. Is it you or is it Christ? He's trying. That's why he gave us both examples. You need to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But how do you do that? By knowing that he's going to work within you to will, to purpose, and to act. That's how you do it. You do it in total trust, total dependence on him who's in you, who will direct you and lead you. That's how you do it. So who is it? It's both of you. All right. So look at, let's just talk for a minute about, and this is rampant in the body of Christ, the belief that we had the old sin nature, and now we have new nature, but we also have the human nature. Not true. Look at John chapter 8. John 8, verse 43. John 8, 43 and 44. Jesus is saying, "Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen. You're not able to hear my word. You are of your father." Who's he talking to? Pharisees, religious people. They had their religious stuff down, but they didn't have life. "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do." He's talking to lost people. "You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Yolanda. In Ephesians chapter 2, the first three verses, it talks about how he's talking about this is where you came from. You actually had a demonic nature. Your sinner nature was actually demonic. Your sinner nature is the same way demons think, the same way demons act. That's the way we were born into this world. Do you know that? Okay? So you were under the influence of, I was under the influence of, demons and never knew it until I heard the gospel, until I placed faith in Jesus Christ. And there was a displacement that occurred. I got a new nature born in heaven, a new spirit man born in heaven, which totally displaced the old spirit. There never was any third human spirit. It's one or the other. We are either under the influence of a demonic nature or under the influence of the spirit of righteousness, the spirit of holiness, the spirit of Jesus Christ. It's one or the other. And the enemy deception comes with to make us think that there is some, "Oh, I'm only human." No, you're not. You're getting it from somewhere. And once we get born again, now it's our nature. What is our nature? That's our spirit. What does that mean? It means what you're going to fall back to. If you get sidetracked, you go off a little bit, like somebody who's lost, who's got a sinner spirit, they're lost. And they try religion. They go to church and they try to do the religious stuff. Okay, they get off into that for a while, but they're going to fall back into what's their nature. The sinner man. They're going to leave the church and they're going to fall back into it. Because it's their nature. There is no middle nature. There is no third nature. It's one or the other. When you get born again, okay, you have the nature of Jesus Christ. You have the nature of Almighty God. You have Him now at the core of your being. It's your nature. It's in your spirit. Okay, so what happens when you get off track a little bit? You do something you know is not right. You take a little side trip and get a little wasted on something. What happens? You're going to come back because that's not your nature. It may take a little while, but you're going to come back. Right? Am I the only one that's taken a little side trip since you received Jesus? But what happens? You're back. You're here. You're back. Holy Spirit brings you back because it's now your nature. And you can't stay away that long because it's not your nature to be out there in doing worldly stuff. It's not your nature to do stuff that's sinning. It's not your nature anymore. So he gives us the analogy of Jesus as the head of the body. Okay, what about that analogy? Jesus is the head and we're the body, right? Okay, what if your hand just turned and looked at you and said, I'm not doing what you said? What if your other hand, I'm agreeing, we're not doing what you said. And your feet, you say, we're going to go see this person, and your feet go, I'm not moving. No. Your body takes orders from the head. The head speaks, the body responds. That's the analogy he gives us of us being the body of Christ. He's the head, okay? He's going to speak, and we're going to just learn to respond. That's where he's taking us. Not for it to be a struggle, for it to be a spontaneous, automatic thing. And as we begin to believe, as we begin to walk that way, remember what's walking. Walking is one step at a time. You're responsible for right now. Not next week, not the future, not the past is under the blood of Jesus Christ. We're responsible for right now. God's got your future. It's secure. It's safe in him. You are responsible for your decision right now. That's it. Take some pressure off. No more worrying about next week. No more worrying about next year. No more worrying about, will I have money to buy food? Will I be able to support? Well, no more. That's the future. It's in God's hands. He's got you. Jesus says, why do you worry about that? Do I not take care of the birds? You see, the birds get food every day. They fly around going, I need food. Oh, where's the food? Somebody give me food. He says, do you see them stressing out? No. Why? Because they know more than you know that it's going to be there for them. They just know it's been taken care of. Your future is secure in him. You worry about it, what do? You believe in a lie. And the devil's going to dupe you. I'm done with him duping me. He's going to get duped. Going to get duped in the pile of doo-doo he's always dishing out. Can you see the devil soaking in a huge pile of doo-doo? Get me out! Let me out! So, a body is a head expressing itself in body form. A body is a head expressing itself in body form. We are, with Jesus as the head, he's expressing himself in our body individually and corporately. It's him expressing his life. If you believe. When we enter a room, do we say, turn on the lamp? Or do we say, turn on the light? But the light is being manifested through a lamp. But we say, turn on the light. Why? Why don't we say, turn on the lamp? Because the lamp's not really what's really important. It's what it's producing, what it's giving off. Jesus is what's important in us. And he says, you are light. You are light in this world. Wow. So he gives us these analogies to help us understand. But it takes the revelation of the Spirit of God. What other analogies does it give us? We're a vessel. Vessel fit for the master use. We've got these vessels, jars of clay, with a treasure on the inside. What's the treasure? It's his life. We're vessels. Okay? Does anybody admire the vessel or the beautiful, beautiful perfume that's on the inside? What do we admire? See, this is what he's trying to get us, is to focus on him on the inside. He gives us analogies of us being a slave. We were slave to sin before Christ, right? You just naturally sinned. You just naturally was self-centered. You just naturally did your own thing, right? But now, you're a slave to righteousness. We're just naturally living right unto him, living righteously, right? Eh? Yeah. And he gives the example of, well, let's look at it, wife. Got any wives here? Got any ex-wives? Got any wannabe wives? Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, from 15 down to 23, he talks about going from being a slave to sin to being a slave to righteousness. What is a slave? What is a slave? Huh? Can a slave do whatever they want? There's somebody directing everything for them, right? Okay, so we go from a slave to... Now, I know you never thought about it, because I never thought about it when I was still a sinner man. I never thought about, you know, the fact that my thought life and my emotions and feelings and everything were being directed by demons. I never thought about that. Did you? You think he's going to make himself known? Oh, by the way, we're demons and we're controlling your life. Oh, we got terrible plans for you. Good plans for us. We're going to kill you. You think they're not going to tell us that? They're not going to come to us in a dream and fill us in on that. No, they're just going to quietly keep pursuing and pushing until we have Jesus Christ. And then we can rest. And then we can rest. And he says, okay, look at this. Let's read it. Romans chapter 6, verse 15. What shall we say then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? That's obedience to believe. Obedience in the new covenant is obedient to believe. Not talking about actions. The actions are to be spontaneous. They are to just flow from the Holy Spirit. Our obedience is to believe who we are, to believe who it is that's living within me, to believe what Jesus has done. That's what we're obedient to. It's to believe. Right? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. He's saying your heart was a sinning heart. You just did it because that was your nature. But that's the old person. That's not who you are anymore. It's not natural for you. So when the desire comes for you to slap somebody, desire comes for you to punch somebody or to say, shut up, I've had enough of you. When the desire begins to rise up inside of you, okay, then all you simply need to do is recognize that's not who I am. See, I'm not going that way. I'm not going down that road. And the Holy Spirit releases truth and pulls you right back into the peace. It's supposed to be right away. Resist the devil at his onslaught. The moment he comes with his stupid lies, you say, that's not who I am. I'm not walking into that. I'm not releasing those words. I'm not saying that. In the name of Jesus Christ, get out. Don't start dwelling on it, meditating on it, dreaming on it, hallucinating about it. Don't go there. Because then it takes longer to get back out. He's saying, verse 19, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh, for just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. We didn't think about presenting our members to do sinning things, right? We wake up in the morning and say, okay, now who can I beat up today? Who can I take advantage of? Who can I rob today? Who can I rip off? Who can I say something nasty about? Who can I punch out? You wake up doing that. But we were doing it because it was a nature we had. But he's saying now in the same way. He says, you think about it. You think about how it was then. You think about how you didn't think about it. You just did it. He said, now you think about how now what you're going to just do is just love somebody. Just bless somebody. Just encourage somebody. Just help out somebody. It's just going to flow out of you because now you've got the nature of Jesus the Christ in you. And he, together with you, is going to live your life for you. He's going to live your life for you. So there's no more struggling or trying to try to live his life. He lives it himself. There's no better person that can live a life than that person. Jesus is the only one that can live his life. Religion says, okay, try to be like Jesus. Try to get your act cleaned up. Try to get your life right. Okay, that's religion. You never can do it. You'll never be able to do it. You'll never, never, never be able to do it. You get frustrated and walk away from God. You'll get brought back. Because it's your nature. The Spirit of God is going to bring you back. But who the heck wants that trip? That's not a fun trip. All kinds of crapola comes on that trip. So he says, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. You know what he's saying? You didn't even know. You were free to sin. You didn't even know about righteousness. You just were free to sin. You didn't call it sin. You didn't look at it as sin, but you were free to do it because it was your nature. And you did it freely, did it. You freely stood up for your own rights. You freely, you know, you got a problem with me, I got a problem with you. Come on. You know, right? Right? We just did it. But he says, now in the same way, you're no longer that person. So freely just let him live through you. Trust him. I'm starting to get really excited now about, trials and issues. Okay, now bear with me a minute. Here's the deal. They're going to come to all of us. How often are they going to come? Every blasted day. But we don't want it to be a blasted day. We want God days. And I tell you, God already knew about it. God already has a way of escape. God already has a plan to lift you up higher. And listen, in order for light to be seen as light, there needs to be darkness. That's how we can give thanks in everything. Oh my God, you're gonna manifest. Yeah. You know, in my early Christian years, a lot of talk about people manifesting demons, right? That doesn't concern me now. It's you know what? I'm manifesting God. I'm manifesting the life of Jesus Christ. I'm manifesting the kingdom of heaven. Everywhere I go, I'm manifesting. I'm releasing. I'm changing atmospheres. When I walk into a room, it may be down and depressed. It's coming back up because I brought the kingdom of heaven in there with me. That's true of all of us. Only believe. Get our focus off something that we're not. You're not a sinner person. It's not your nature anymore. It's not. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit, verse 21, what fruit did you have then in the things of which you now are ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Think about the fruit you had when you were in your sinner, old sinner nature. What was it? It's all produced death. It all stinks. It's smelly. It's all full of poo-poo. One of the flights that I was on this last trip, I had this lady sitting next to me. She looked grumpy. And she was sitting there, and I think she messed her pants. Because it was really, it was really bad. And I knew, you know, I'm gonna have to be nice in Jesus. I said, take away that smell. He did. It's amazing to me, you know. I we go to some countries and there's people that they don't take baths that much, and in the natural they got, you know, an aroma going. I say, you know what? Jesus, I just want them to see you. And so many times, I smell perfume coming off of them. The sweet aroma of Jesus. Can he do that stuff? Yes, he can, and yes, he does. And he will change everything because he wants us to see people the way he sees them. He died for every single person ever created. He paid the price for every single person ever created, so that they might have life, and life in abundance, in his life, and be able to walk free. Wow. He says, so what fruit? But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end of that is everlasting life. You got fruit. One of my favorite analogies in God's growing me in my understanding of this is when Jesus talked about the vine and the branches in John 15. You know what I'm talking about? Okay, you got the branch. We're branches, right? We're the branches. Where does the life come from? Where does the sap come from that produces the fruit? It comes out of the vine. It comes out of the tree trunk. The branch doesn't produce it. The branch doesn't have to produce it. It doesn't try to produce it. You would think if a branch could talk and you could listen to it and you heard the branch saying, come on, come on, come on, I need fruit, come on, come on. You would think this branch is crazy. Just rest. Relax. It's totally natural. It happens spontaneous. The fruit of the Spirit of God, the fruit of Jesus Christ, his life, will just come. And us being branches, it just weighed down with all of the beautiful fruit here. Bing, 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 bing. That's normal Christianity. That's normal. There's no striving, no manipulation, no conniving, no worrying, no stressing. It just happens if you believe. Jesus Christ living in me, living through me, and living as me. Ooh. It's not just Christ in me. It's Christ as me. That's awesome. If you got your pipe, when you find your pipe, put that in there. Say, Holy Spirit, I want to meditate on this. I want to dwell on this. I want to saturate and soak every part of my being in this truth until I begin to see it. Just happening. Just happening. Wow. We're only branches. What's happened is we've changed trees. We're just branches. We were only ever just branches. But we've changed trees. And now the life is coming from the tree of Jesus. Wow. You can never, again, evidence that we don't have this separate human nature that gets in the way, is you can never produce fruit without a tree. And there's two trees. How many were in the garden? Was there three trees in the garden? Well, two. That's all there is two. And we've come out of the one. It's over, never to go back. And we're into the right tree. But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness, and the end of all that is everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You have the gift of God. He's the gift of God. You have him. He's living within you. You've become one. You've become one. For you to live is now Christ. Let him live. Let him live. Don't be afraid to talk to the Spirit of Jesus Christ inside of you and say, you know what, I'm getting up today and I'm going to walk. But you know what, it's going to be you living. It's going to be you speaking through me. It's going to be you loving through me. I get to watch it through my hands. You know, as my mouth flaps, I get to hear you speak. And I get to see beautiful things and encouragement come out of my mouth. And I get to love people and wrap my arms and with your love flowing through my arms into these people. I get to do that. I get to experience the King of Kings in me, through me. Oh, my God. This is so awesome. That's a good way to start the day. Instead of, oh, man, I got to do, I don't want to go to work. This issue and that issue and oh yeah, yay, I'm gonna handle this. You can never handle it. Or worse yet, I get up, I gotta deal with my husband. Oh, I gotta deal with my wife. This is killing me. No. Oh no. That one that it would kill has already been killed. He's dead. Buried. Wow. And let's just read the first six verses of seven. Is that okay? Because he gives us another analogy. Or do you not know, brethren, for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. He's talking about the law being like a husband. Okay, you're bound to it before Christ. And unfortunately, a lot of people come over to Christ and they still carry that law with them and still try to be bound by the law, bound by what the words of the Bible say I have to do, instead of knowing that you have a new husband now. So then if while her husband lives, she marries, that's the law, this is what you got to do, this is what you ought to do, this is what you should do, this is, you need to get your life together, you need to make all these things that you got to do, okay, is the law, that's the husband. So then if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another, to him, Jesus, who was raised from the dead, that we should bear fruit to God. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now, we have been delivered from the law. We've been delivered from that old husband. He's died to us, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. There's never been a widow who has conceived without a husband. And he's saying, you were conceiving, bearing fruit with the old husband who was a taskmaster, saying, this is the things you got to live this way and do these things this way. Okay, now the guy was a taskmaster. He was bad. He was called the law. Okay, he's saying that guy's dead to you now. And now you were free to marry another, and the other is Jesus Christ. Whereas the law says, here's the things you need to do, go do it. Jesus, as your husband, says, here's the things you need to do, I'll do it for you. I love that. I love saying, thank you, Jesus, for taking care of that. Thank you, Jesus, for taking care of that. Thank you, Jesus, for speaking to that person. Thank you, Jesus, for fixing that situation. Thank you, Jesus. I love that. Yeah. It's spontaneous. It just happens. One more scripture, we're done. Yes! Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Stand therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. Stand fast in the liberty, the freedom that Christ Jesus has given you. He's given you freedom to enjoy life, to live life. I'm coming to the place where less and less am I concerned about, am I doing it right? Less and less, I'm coming to that place where I'm concerned about, am I doing this right? And more, I'm just releasing it because I'm trusting that He's given me His will. He's given me His plans. He's set the course before me, and He's put it in my heart. It is God who's working in me to will and to act according to His purposes. I trust that more and more. It's Him in me doing this, giving me the passions and desires, and I'm just releasing it and stepping out. And He's there, and He's already in tomorrow, getting everything fixed. So when I take that step into tomorrow, woo, good work, Jesus. Amazing work, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For me to live is Christ. That old guy, he don't live no more. And if the memory of him tries to get put back there by some demon trying to sidetrack me, I'm going to tell him, take a hike, dude. You picked the wrong tree. This would be a Jesus tree. Yeah, you need to go take it up with Jesus. You need to go take this argument up with Jesus. He's my life. Thank you, Jesus, for taking care of it. You see the transformation? You see how we're being changed from glory to glory? You see how the Spirit of God within us is more and more bringing us to the place where we're just trusting and resting and relaxing in Him to do it through us? You see that? Oh, it was a while ago, Al said to me, he says, Tony, something's happening to me. I'm changing. I'm changing. I'm being transformed. I said, yeah. You know why? You're believing, trusting in Jesus, being the only one who can live His life, is now living His life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Woo! Wow, 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 wow. Wow, 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 wow. I pray that the eyes of our heart will be enlightened to see. I pray that we will be moved by the Spirit of God into dreams and visions where we can really see the truth about who we are. As He begins to give you revelation upon revelation upon revelation about this awesome fact that it's now him living in you and he wants to live through you. That just gets released in a huge measure, and that stress and worry and anxiety would be far from your house, far from your house, far from your house, and you'd be able to laugh at every attempt, every tactic of the enemy to try to take you out of that resting place in the beautiful center of Jesus Christ, who's now alive in you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never abandon you. He'll never leave you to work it out yourself. No! We work out our salvation as you, Jesus, bring it to us in a will, in a plan, in a purpose, in a thought, in a desire. You bring it, and you bring the power with it. And we're so grateful. We're so grateful. May this be a changing day. Those of us that have stepped into it, that we would see a great advancement. Any here that have not taken that step yet, that today's the day. Oh, no, I'm not living this life by myself no more. I'm not trying to do it no more. It's you, Jesus. It's you, Jesus. May all of heaven respond. May all the angels of heaven watch on and see the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ as we rest in you, Jesus, as we trust in you, Jesus. Thank you for filling us. Holy Spirit, thank you for filling us. Can you tell him that? Thank you for filling me. Thank you for filling me with the knowledge of your will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding of what you've done and who you really are in me. I bless you for that. I thank you for that. And may we quickly see every move of the enemy that tries to come in to make us think that we're independent in any way, shape, or form from you. We can never be again. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Woo! Glory! Give somebody a hug.